Thanks for joining us for the Executive Series. Today I'm speaking with Peter Coleman, who is the CEO and Managing Director of Woodside Petroleum. Peter, really good to talk to you.
Thank you. Great to see you again.
It's been a while.
It has.
And the intervening period could reasonably be described as something of a seismic event, particularly where the energy universe is concerned. In the gamut of your experience, which is substantial, how are you going to reflect on some of the developments over the course of the last 12 months?
Well, it's an interesting way to kind of close a 37 plus year career, as we were sitting here at pretty much this time last year, and we'd heard of COVID in China at that time. We were actually starting to prepare for it with respect to our shipping that was coming out of Asia, but we really couldn't predict what was going to happen on the demand side of the business. And of course, we not only had a huge demand shock, but we also had a supply shock when both OPEC and Russia had an issue in the kind of early second quarter of the year. So, we're going to reflect back on it and say, well, all the things we say we're going to do, so, stay disciplined on the way that we spend our money, make sure that our balance sheet's always in good shape. And many of these things could apply to your own personal home, but the same principles apply in business. Keep our costs as low as we can, make sure the margins are working right, and so forth. They all worked for us. So we've come out of the year. We took a few bruises along the way, and definitely it was a difficult year for us from a profit point of view and valuing our assets. But the reality is, as the company's come out of it, we've actually come out of it stronger. We didn't increase our debt in any substantial way. Our cash flows are still very, very strong. We've been able to move our projects forward and improve the value of them. And we've trimmed our business a bit, and so we're a bit leaner than what we were before as well. So we kind of look at all those things and say, oh, it was really an awful year in many, many regards. But when you look at it and the way that we carried ourselves through it and the way that we've come into 2021, it's in fact very positive.
What I think is interesting from a distance is that, given what happened in the last 12 months, you had to think very quickly and very seriously about the calls on your capital expenditure, what projects were going to be prioritized. Such a complex universe. Step us through some of the thought disciplines in terms of picking that apart.
Yeah, look, it's an interesting question because it's one that you almost say, well, I was preparing myself for the previous 36 years and for the year that 2020 was. But equally, so was the team. So as we got into those thought processes in making those decisions, it was really team driven. Obviously providing direction to the team, but at the end of the day, they delivered on it and they brought back the answers for us that we then implemented. What we did know though is we needed to move quickly. So we quickly formed a view as to what this was going to do in the business. We looked at where we were burning cash, and we took quick decisions before they became critical. Yep. And you want to do that. You want to take a decision before you're literally standing on that burning deck. Too many people hesitate and wait. And we formed a view very quickly though that we couldn't do that. We then also set an expectation for when we thought things would improve. And we said towards the back end of 2020, early 2021. As things have worked out, they are improving for us. Now, all the moving parts, you're never quite sure of which one's going to move, but the conditions have improved. So we're now entering 2021 with a couple of things that are different. First one is very clearly, though, a reaffirmation that natural gas is something that the world wants. Natural gas consumption last year from a demand side actually increased. Now, it was just by 1%, but in the context of a world where energy demand was going through the floor, natural gas as a product actually went up 1%. LNG, the product we sell, actually went up a couple of percent. And in the Asian market, went up 4%. And in China, went up 8%.
Yeah.
So if you think about our target markets and the demand for our product, then things actually went up. So that's good news for us. The flip side to that, of course, is climate now has become more of an issue globally. It was bubbling along early in 2020, but it really gained momentum during the latter part of 2020. And so we're well positioned for that. with respect to our Scope 1 emissions, Scope 1 and Scope 2 through our tree planting projects. And we're working towards looking at what we do with Scope 3 through hydrogen and ammonia. So if we think about the decisions we made some quick ones to preserve the business, stop the bleeding, so to speak, get the cash flow right. Then we started looking at our midterm decisions, improving our projects. And then we're looking at our long-term decisions around where do we fit in climate change, what's the product, where we can we compete, and we put all of that in place as well.
Just to dig down on the project side of things, given where things are now, where are the priorities in terms of the various projects?
Well, we've just come out of about 5 years of smaller projects, what we call kind of adding bolt-on fields around our existing infrastructure. So things that have been discovered some time ago, we've been building that out. So we've just completed that, or in the final processes of completing that. We acquired Sangomar in Senegal, as you might recall, a couple of years ago, where we went to FID on that project. That's an oil project. We went to FID in January of 2020. At the end of the year, we were 17% of the way through that project. And so, you know, we've got people in country moving. We've got people in places like China and elsewhere now starting to construct all the pieces of kit for that. So Sangomar is clearly a priority for us. That's production in 2023. We've got agreement on an interconnector, you know, a pipeline connecting both the Pluto and the North West Shelf plants. That's really important for us. We'll get new production through that in 2022. So if you think about the revenue pipeline, 2022, that interconnector will start producing for us. 2023, we'll have oil coming out of Sangomar. So they're important. Then, of course, this year, we're looking to sanction Scarborough, which will be a huge project for us. And we spent the last 12 months increasing the capacity of Scarborough from 6.5 million tonnes per year up to 8 million tonnes for very minimal additional capital. So that's a second half of the year decision for us. But the importance of that decision, particularly as North West Shelf, our legacy project, starts to decline, is that the amount of equity, meaning the amount of gas that's owned by Woodside shareholders in Scarborough, is two times the amount that we had in the entire North West Shelf project. So if you think about the importance to Woodside and the impact, the long-term impact it will have to shareholders, you know, it's pretty important when you think about it. It's twice as big an impact as North West Shelf has been.
You mentioned the decarbonisation story. That's a secular trend that's going to last a couple of generations, it feels like, from where we are now. Yeah. How do you think about Woodside's part in that story when you look out over the course of the next decade or so, which is, I suppose, a wistful pursuit, given the fact that you're going to be going at the end of the year?
Oh. Well, we all leave a legacy, and you know, I always say it's about the people. So the people are the ones that are going to drive this forward. Look, as we think about our part to it, it's twofold. So the first part is look at our existing assets or resource base, and we'll continue to develop that out. And as we look at it, it's going to take us out well beyond 2050 with what we currently have and need to develop. So if you think about our current projects and what we produce, and then our new projects with Scarborough in particular coming through. Now, the good thing about Woodside's portfolio is it's gas. And it's gas that we turn into LNG and we sell to North Asia. Our portfolio is already where most of our competitors want to get to by 2040. So as we look at the super majors, you know, the big players in the world, the BPs, the Shells and so forth, they have aspirations to get to 80% of gas in their portfolio by 2040. Woodside's already there. Right, and that was by design. We have avoided large oil projects over time because they've been too expensive or they've had a carbon footprint that we didn't like. So we've stayed with gas, and we think gas is the transition fuel. And I know there's a lot of people, a bit of debate around that, particularly around gas that's sourced from onshore wells, but our wells have little to zero leakage in them. Yep. So if you think about it, we're a very efficient system. So we think gas is going to be a big part of that, and the numbers just play that out. The second part will be, we're just starting in our pathway to hydrogen. And we've got a project in Tasmania we want to pursue, and subject to government assistance, we'll get that one going. That will be a world-class green hydrogen project. And it's small on the global scale of LNG projects, but on hydrogen projects, the world scale project. So we hope to go to funding on that this year. I can see a Woodside in the future that is a major player in hydrogen and a major player in ammonia going into those markets. And as you know, ammonia is hydrogen just with a nitrogen atom attached to it. So, you know, as we think about it, we've got a great future in front of us. We've got things that Woodsiders can do. We've got things that are already in our portfolio for us. We just simply have to be diligent in the way that we allocate capital, and we just need to make sure that we build things at the time that the market needs them.
Capital is a good point, because given what happened in the last 12 months, you could have easily foregone the payment of a dividend most recently, but you elected to go ahead with it. What was your thinking behind that?
Well, there's a couple of things. We've said to shareholders, we live within our means, and of course, we want to make sure that dividends are earned, not borrowed. So as we looked at our cash flow situation was such that we could afford to pay a dividend. If we take out a transaction that we hadn't planned on, but we can afford to pay a dividend. And that was our commitment to shareholders. We want to be consistent in that. We want to make sure that it's based on underlying profit. And you know, that's really where we ended up. But it comes out of this discipline that we've had about allocating our capital and just making sure that at the end of the day, that dividend is important to our shareholders, particularly what we call the mums and dads shareholders, of which that group grew significantly during 2020. I mean, many tens of thousands of new mum and dad investors came on the Woodside's register during 2020. And those who did come on have been rewarded up to now, because they would have purchased in the low mid-teens. And of course, we're now in the mid-20s on our share price. They've just received a dividend.
Now, Peter, we touched on the fact that you'll be leaving the organisation at the end of the year. How is the search process going as far as your successor is concerned? I understand that, you know, you can't say too much, but what are the parts of the search that are going to be most important to the organisation, I suppose, going forward?
Well, there's two parts to it. You know, my role is in two parts. Obviously, it's a search that's undertaken by the board, and the final selection is a board selection. It's not for me. So my initial role is, you know, who are the types of people who I feel would culturally fit within Woodside? And of course, I've got a good understanding of people in the industry and who I feel we could work with and who would fit well in a Woodside organisation. So it's kind of a little bit of an upfront input into that. The board will then do the interview process, and that process is just kicking off. So that's going to take, you know, a couple of months for that to run through. Then once the person's on seat, obviously then there's a handover phase that I'll go through. But that's with the individual. Before that though, we've just got to make sure the company's in really good shape so that when we hand over, they've got a clean sheet. They don't have any issues that they need to work off. And in 2020, we worked a lot of those off. And that everything that they're seeing is moving forward rather than to have to look back and fix up some things. So my commitment is we're going to leave the organisation in as good a shape as we possibly can, and that, you know, the person coming in is going to continue the Woodside culture that we've established.
Well, Peter, I for one have enjoyed our conversations immensely over the course of the years, and I'd like to wish you all the best in your future endeavours. Thanks very much for your time.
It's been my pleasure. Thank you, and again.
And thanks very much for joining us for the Executive Series.